Jesus in so many different ways and characteristics of Jesus that it tells us. And the question that I've been asking you each week is, do you know my Jesus in this way? And this morning as we finish this series, I hope and I pray that the things that I've been sharing with you through this series of lessons have at least challenged you to go and to look into Jesus in these various capacities a little bit more and to get to know Him a little bit better in those ways. We finished this series of lessons where I think is the, and I really wanted to focus on this as the final lesson, because I think this really encompasses and really draws everything we've been studying together as Jesus as the supreme being. And that's what I want us to focus on for a few moments this morning. If you'll turn in your Bible to the book of Colossians, the text that was read for us as we began this morning, the Apostle Paul, as he pens these words, is really trying to draw his audience to focus upon the lordship of Jesus. But not just the lordship of Jesus, but specifically the lordship of Jesus in two primary areas. And I want to suggest to you that these primary areas really reflect the concept of a beginning and an end. It is Jesus' lordship in creation. How did all this stuff come about to begin with? And Paul emphasizes that all of this came about by and for Jesus. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But you see, that's the beginning of it all. The end of it all is the redemption part. And it shows that Jesus indeed is Lord even of our redemption. And so, as we look at what the Apostle Paul has to say here, keep in mind and focus on Jesus as being the supreme being, because that's what Paul is writing about, the supremacy of Jesus Christ. There is no one like Jesus. And so Paul, as he begins in verse 15 of this part here, he says, first of all, he's talking about the fact that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Now, when you think about that idea of an image, one of the first things that comes to my mind is a coin. Okay? Have you looked at a coin lately? Have you really taken a good look at a coin lately? Now, probably you take it out of your pocket or your purse or whatever, and you just pass it on, make sure I got the right amount of change here, and you give it to the person you need to pay with or what have you. But take a look at the coin. Stop and take a look at it. On that coin is an image. It doesn't matter what the coin is. There's an image, isn't it? And that image is intended to give us the idea of the likeness of whoever it's intended to be. The image. And what you have to understand is the way that that coin acquired that image on it is that it was stamped on it by what's called a die. A blank of the metal that coin is made of went through the machine at the mint, and a die came down and stamped that image on that coin, and that's how the image got there. Well, you see, the important thing here is that the die is what cast the image. So the coin is what carries the image. You and I don't get to see the image that's on the die that's at the mint. What we get to see are the coins, isn't it? And it's kind of that way with Jesus. Paul is saying he is the image of the invisible God. The God that we don't get to see, the one that is in heaven, we get to see the image that is the one that was cast by the die. Now, what you have to understand about that is, again, keep in mind, where did that image come from? It was cast by the die. So it is the, literally, Paul is saying here, he is the exact representation of the invisible God. Okay? If you look over in verse 19, Paul here says, all the fullness of God dwells in Him. Okay? All the fullness of God dwells in Him. Chapter 2 and verse 9, he says, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. So you see this emphasis that Paul is making. He wants us to look at it and understand when we look at Jesus, we're seeing God. Okay? We are looking at deity in the bodily form. We're looking at the image that was cast by the God. Okay? It's the real thing. No. He is, he goes on to say, the firstborn over all creation. Well, what does that statement really mean? Does that indicate, as many people have thought and believe today, that Jesus was the first one of all the creation that was actually created? No, that's not what it means at all. Jesus wasn't created. In fact, nothing, John says, nothing was created that was created except by Him. Jesus created everything. When Paul here says he was the firstborn over all creation, what it really means is that Jesus has all of the rights and all of the privileges that go with being the firstborn. You see? And those are special privileges, you see? And that's one reason why under the old law that God specified that there were certain rules and regulations concerning the firstborn son that a man had. Say. And Jesus, being the firstborn over all creation, lays claim to all of the rights and privileges that go with being the firstborn son. Okay? Notice that he goes on to say here, verse 16, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created. Notice this next part. Not only by Him, but for Him. They were created by Him and for Him. Okay? How involved do you think Jesus was in creation? This thing, by the way, that many discount today is never happening. You know, you're here just because of chance. You understand that, right? According to the world. All of this happened by chance. Oh, no, it didn't. Oh, no, it didn't. There's no way. There's no way. Jesus created everything. It was all created by Him, and it was created for Him. It is His universe. It is His universe to rule as He sees fit. Why? Because He is supreme. Okay? So, you know, one of the things that we can take away from that is, you know, this thing that sometimes people talk about today, if you think the world revolves around you, okay? Maybe some of you have thought that. You need to get over that, okay? All right, you need to get over it. The world does not revolve around you, okay? It revolves around, help me out here, Jesus. Because it was created by Him and for Him. So, as a friend of mine told me one time when I was having some difficulty, you know, feeling down and, you know, one of those nobody likes me, everybody hates me, I'm going to go eat worms, you know, moments in my life, you know? He said, get over yourself. You know, the world doesn't revolve around you. And that's one of the things we have to remember. It revolves not around you, not around me, not around us. It revolves around Him. He created it. And He created it for Himself. So that means you and I belong to Him. Okay? We belong to Him. I don't know about you, but I like that idea. Okay? Because that makes me a child of the Supreme Being. Okay? How's that make you feel this morning? Okay? You know, and you know, one of the things I used to have a poster of this. I lost it somewhere along the line. It said, God doesn't make junk. Okay? He made us special. Made us to be like Him. Okay? And we were created by Him and for Him. That is you and I. Okay? He says, He is before all things and holds all things together. Yeah. You know, one of the greatest things about that is the realization that you don't have the weight of the whole world on your shoulders. Now, that's another one of those things that sometimes we feel, isn't it? You know? I'm carrying this tremendous weight and, you know, everything revolves around me and I'm responsible for all this. No, Jesus is the one that holds it all together. Okay? He's got the whole world on His shoulders, or as the song says, in His hands. You see? He's the one that holds it all together. He is the one that sustains everything. Why? Because He is supreme. Okay? Not us. We're not supreme. Okay? He is. And so He created everything, and He did it for Him, and He holds everything together. The world really is literally in His hands, isn't it? Okay? It really, really is. Well, you know, as we look at that and we consider then, Jesus being the Lord, or Paul talking about His lordship over creation, that's exactly what He has done. But He's also Lord over reconciliation. Look down, skip down a couple of verses, and look at verse 20 at what He has to say here. Verse 19, we mentioned that already, the end of that verse. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven. How? By making peace through His blood shed on the cross. That's what we just celebrated here a few moments ago, isn't it? And that's why Jesus told us to do this in remembrance of Him, so we would never forget that He is Lord over reconciliation, that He gave His blood so that you and I could be reconciled to God. Okay? And I like the way that it's worded here. He says He made peace with us. And we need to understand how important that is, because you see, when we sin, then we become enemies. But one sin, that's all it takes. One sin. The first time we sin, we become an enemy of God. But Jesus, through His blood, made peace. Okay? He made peace with God by shedding His blood on the cross. God is reconciling to Himself, He says, all things. Jesus is the one who is doing that reconciling through His blood. So He is Lord of reconciliation. Now, where does that put Him then? Okay? We need to understand that concept. And the wording that Paul is using here in this text, in this passage, is so important. Look at verse 18. We need to understand that because of these things, Jesus has first place. Look at verse 18. He says, He is the head of the body, the church. Okay? So, when that says that He is the head of the church, what does that mean for the body that is us? Okay? Well, what it means is, when we think about the head of something, we're thinking about who's in charge, right? Right? Okay. So that means that whatever the head of the body says, whatever the head of the body directs, then the body is to do. I don't know about you, but I haven't seen too many people walking around without their head intact. Okay? You've got to have your head in order to function. Why? Because your brain is up there, at least for most of us, okay? Our brain is up there, and the brain is what controls all the functions of the body, okay? So without the head, the body's not going to do anything. The body cannot do anything that the head does not cause or allow it to do. And Paul uses that terminology to help us understand that's exactly the way the church is to be. The body, which is us, cannot do anything that the head has not allowed us to do. Okay? He is the head. We are the body. So when we get these ideas in our heads, this human head of ours, that we can do this instead, and we start saying things like, well, I know what the Bible says, but... Well, then what we're doing is we're saying, I'm going to cut off my head. We'll see how far that takes you. Okay? But in effect, that's exactly what we're doing when we discount what the head is saying and what he has told us to do and how he has told us he wants us to live. We're just cutting off the head. Because the head is what controls the body. And that's how Paul wants us to understand his lordship, his supremacy. So he says he is the head of the body, his church, and he is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead. Now, again, we need to understand what is Paul trying to tell us here about it. What does that mean, the firstborn from among the dead? Obviously, he's not the first person that's ever been raised from the dead. You know, you can read back all the way in the Old Testament and there were people that were raised from the dead. So obviously it doesn't mean that. Well, what does it mean? It means that he was the first one raised from the dead with a resurrection body. You see, everybody else that was raised from the dead, guess what eventually happened to them? They died again, didn't they? None of them's around. Lazarus, he's not around anywhere. Okay, you can't find him because he passed away, even though Jesus raised him from the dead. And all the others. That Jesus is still, help me, alive. Thank you. Okay? He will never die. He is the firstborn from among the dead. He indeed has a resurrection body. Will never die, can never die. And so we look at that, and we have one of those situations we talked about before. It's kind of like a therefore statement. Here it is so that. Okay? In other words, he is the head of the body, and he's the firstborn from among the dead, so that his place as supreme is established. Paul says, so that in everything. And how much does everything include? Yeah, everything. What does it leave out? Nothing. So that in everything, he might have the supremacy. Some of your translations say the preeminence. Some of your translations say first place. That's literally what it means. That he might have first place. Paul wrote to the church in Philippi, chapter 2 and verse 9, therefore God exalted him, that is Jesus, to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. Okay. So what place does Jesus hold? First place. The highest place. Okay? He has the supremacy. And that then brings us to the purpose of this statement that's on the front of my shirt, the main thing. I've talked about this before. Some of you are familiar with this, but it bears repeating over and over again. The first time that I ever saw this statement on a bumper sticker, I said, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And what is the main thing? It's Jesus. Because you see, if we ever allow anything else in our life to become the main thing, then we've forgotten the main thing. And we've lost track. And so the main thing that you and I can do is to keep the main thing in our life. We've got to take a serious evaluation from time to time. I suggest daily, okay? And ask yourself, have I allowed anything other than Jesus to become the main thing in my life? And yes, that includes husband, your wife, and your children, and your parents, or your job, or your money, or your car, or your house, or you just go on down the list. The things you want for Christmas, okay? Or your favorite sports team, or your favorite musician, or, you know, whoever, whatever it is. If anything other than Jesus occupies first place in our life, then he's no longer the main thing. We have failed to keep the main thing the main thing. And yeah, it's kind of a catchy phrase, isn't it? And that's why I did this. Was because it's a really, really easy and kind of fun way to remind ourselves where Jesus belongs. You see, all this time we've been trying to get to know Jesus in all these different ways, as I talked about. But if you don't know Jesus as the main thing in your life, you don't know Jesus. That's the bottom line. So the main thing is what? The main thing is favorably is to see the main thing, the main thing. Do you know Jesus as a supreme being, as the main thing? We're going to stand in just a moment in the same song and use that as an invitation. Invitation is open to anyone, but maybe there's someone here this morning who, you're already a Christian, but maybe something else has taken over first place in your life. If that's the case, then I want to urge you to do that. If you need some help, some encouragement, some guidance, forgiveness, whatever it is, to put Jesus back as the first place in your life, then let us help you. And if there's someone here this morning who's not a Christian, you haven't given yourself to Christ, you've not been reconciled to God through His blood yet, then you can do that right now this morning by calling upon Him as your Lord and making Him the main thing. And having your sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now this morning. So that when you leave here this morning, Jesus will be many things. And so the Lord's invitation is open to you. And I'll be up here in the front to receive anyone that would like to come up. Ted will be in the back to receive anyone. If you'd rather have a private prayer or a conversation with him in the back, and he'll be back there to receive you. We're here to serve. Amen.